Welcome back to another episode of the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller. I am your host, and thank you again for clicking on this podcast. I know that there's so many other options out there, and so I am extremely grateful and excited to have you with me. We are going on this 6-week series. We are doing two things at once because knowing me, I can't just do one thing. But we are going to go through a lot of verses around peace just because I really need more of that in my life. And then also I'm just really excited to share, you know, what kind of peace the Bible offers. And we are going to talk about that in the next coming weeks. And then the other thing that I find really exciting is we are going to talk about relationships. And this is not your typical relationship advice. I am going deep diving on a lot of these more counseling terms that's around dating and relationships, like attachment styles. We're going to talk about boundaries. These buzzwords that we hear a lot of the times around relationships, and I want to actually break them down as I'm getting into like all the things that is therapy and psychology. I just like, I'm reading so much. And so I'm actually leading a group for the college students at the college that I am an intern at. And it's all going to be about dating. So I'm just kind of like, I've got my hands in all this material and I decided to share it with you for free. How about that? So today we are going to talk about your attachment style. So stay tuned to that. That's going to be at the end of the episode. And I'm really excited about that because dating and relationships can be really hard. And sometimes it is the person you're with. And sometimes it's literally looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I'm the problem. It's me. To quote, Taylor Swift, of course. But without further ado, let's dive into our passage of scripture today for our devotional. And I want you to just take a deep breath with me because that's kind of what I want to be doing more in my sessions with my clients, this podcast, life with my husband. This is probably the busiest season of our lives. For me, I don't think I'm ever going to be this busy just because of working on my thesis and trying to graduate this program. So I'm just needing all sorts of peace. And that is kind of where I'm at. That word excites me. You know, when you have a concept or like this verse or a phrase or a word from the Lord that you just hear over and over again, and you're like, that word excites me. I want to know more about it. I want to tell other people about it. That's where I'm at about peace. And I'm excited for what God's going to teach me this year. Because last year, let me tell you, I did not understand the full capacity of the word faithfulness and how beautiful he was using that word in my life throughout the whole year. So we're going to start off with the groundwork, and I will share with you as I go what God teaches me about peace. But today, if you want to turn with me, we are going to, sorry, putting down a book for our next episode. Breath work. Breathe as prayer. Breath as prayer. There we go. That's what it is. We are going to maybe use that in future episodes just because I love the merge. You know, I love showing you when counseling and when theology can go together. And that's totally what this book that is written by Jennifer Tucker talks about. It's the foreword is by Ann Voskamp. I'm in love with this book. My supervisor has been using it in our group sessions, and I've really enjoyed it and benefited from it. And so I bought myself one. I'm probably going to give my friends this for their birthdays, like for a full year, like all my friends. They're just going to get this book because it's so amazing. So I'm going to read a few little prayers of that with you in future episodes. So stay tuned for that as well. But today we're going to look at John 16, verse 33. And it says, These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That is John 16:33. And when I started studying this passage, I was like, you know, I thought this was the only place that Jesus says these words. I love it because it says, like, I've given you peace. In this world you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. But it actually is said earlier in John by just a few passages. And it's in chapter 14, John 14. So if you have your Bibles open, if you've been looking at these verses with me, please turn there. John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still here, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So it's kind of like the same thing, and it's earlier. So when we look at verses, right, we always want to look at context. And the thing that I love about this, the context in John, and like my church has been going through, a couple of passages in John. And so we've been going through the parables, and we went through the parable of Jesus being the good shepherd. And so I've been really enjoying John. But this is really interesting because the context that this passage finds itself in is that Jesus is preparing the disciples for when he is going to get betrayed by Judas and then, you know, persecuted and then, you know, hung on the cross. And it's pretty deep stuff. And so I think he's just getting the disciples ready because Jesus knew this was happening. This was the plan all along. You know, his ministry has been leading up to this point. And the whole time he's been giving them parables to tell them more about himself. And he hasn't been just sharing this to the disciples, you know, like a lot of the parables have been shared, you know, Sermon on the Mount, like in front of big groups of people. But this conversation, a lot of the times we can see that it's just to the disciples, which is really cool because we can take it for ourselves too today. But in chapter 14, we see that Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. So it's talking a lot about belief, which I think is cool. And then what I just read, verse 25, talks about the Holy Spirit and Jesus promising the Holy Spirit that's going to be better than himself, which I always think is so remarkable and cool. And I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit creates the fruit in us, right? And peace is a part of the Holy Spirit's fruit. So like this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So those things come with being close to Jesus, walking with him, having a personal relationship. It's so remarkable that it's not like, you know, be holy and follow the Ten Commandments, and then you're going to have this fruit in your life. No, it's literally the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we get to have when we walk in relationship with Jesus. So we're going to skip to chapter 15, verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Jesus is warning them, hey, you know, hard things are going to happen. You're going to think differently because of the Holy Spirit, because it's working in you. And so the things that grieves your soul isn't necessarily the things that used to grieve, like isn't the things that, you know, other people might be grieved by, right? Because we're going to be living by the Holy Spirit. And then you jump to verse 7 of chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Like, he's preparing the disciples. So as we see Jesus preparing the disciples, he is saying these things are going to be hard. Your life, it is not easy to live contrary to, you know, the patterns that you naturally just go into, right? Peace is not our natural inclination when things go wrong. Peace is, you know, sitting on a yoga mat and not moving. Peace is going to the beach and staying there. But Jesus is saying these things are going to be hard. This is hard. Like working in your job and trying to be ethical, that's hard. Working at your job and trying to love the people around you, that is hard. Having joy on dreary days when the sun is not showing, that is hard. Those are not things that will naturally happen. But because we have the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us when he left, we can do that through his power. And if you look back in your life, you can see the changes. And I have seen the changes in my life. Okay, so then we go to verse 19 in chapter 16. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will not see me. That's what you're saying. I'm going to tell you why you're confused by that statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. And it's talk, and then Jesus, that's his way of saying, hey, like when I'm gone, like the world's going to be happy about that, but you're going to be sad, but it's going to be momentarily. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So it's he's showing this relationship. That's why I like going to this passage first, because if we talk about peace in just this ethereal way, and even if we talk about peace in the Old Testament, it has to always be linked to the fact that we have what Jesus did on the cross for us. That is really what is going to give us the peace that transcends all understanding, because of what he did on the cross. We have this direct relationship with him, and he is talking to the Father on our behalf. And that is what gives us peace through trials. Without that, we don't understand what the biblical meaning of peace is. Without that concept. And so that's why I wanted to go through these verses. I think it's like literally perfect. Verse 31 through 33 in 16, chapter 16. This is where I want to kind of camp out on. Jesus said to answer them, do you now believe? Because they said, oh, now you're not speaking in all these riddles. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to its own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So, friend, saint, believer, that is why we get to have peace in times of hardships and tribulation. And it's because of essentially what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And, you know, it reminds me of that hymn, like peace like a river, it overflows in my soul. It's just a beautiful reminder. Maybe I'll have to pull it up maybe. But it's a great hymn. Peace like a river. It is well with my soul. That's the song that I'm thinking about. Yeah. And that's where we're at. And that's, you know, we'll go through other verses. This is a good foundation if you at all was curious about what does peace mean from a biblical lens. Did you know that recessions can actually cause fashion trends? Okay, I never thought about this before, but recessions definitely have a huge impact on our culture. I mean, you know, I'm working for a college right now, and we're talking about how the recession in 2008 is causing a lack of college students. Because nobody in that year or around that time, they were having less kids. And so there's less kids going to college right now because those kids around 2008, they are grown and they're college students now. Isn't that crazy insane that it influences even the fact that colleges do not have the right amount of money, like as much money as they used to, because of a recession and people having less kids? That is insane. So on top of that, we are going through another recession. And so colleges are really, really struggling because of that reason. And there's more reasons too, like less people are going to college, everything like that. But those two things, that the kids around the time of the recession, there's less kids going to college, and then also there is a recession going on right now. And so it's so interesting. I was researching this, but the fashion trends are influenced by a recession. So in 2018, if you can remember, and like I can because that was when I was in high school, but that was like the time when the recession was happening. And that is actually why hipsters and like, okay, the resource that I was getting this information from was saying that the hipster movement, you know, came from the recession, and they were comparing it to this new type of fashion trend that is being birthed from this recession. And when I look at the photos, and I'll get into it more, it's more like I'm seeing, like, I would never consider myself hipster. I think I was more in high school. I think I was more maybe alternative. I don't know. I that's what I would like to more call myself. But I was definitely not preppy. I think I maybe owned like one Hollister t-shirt or maybe two. I liked American Eagle jeans. That was my vibe. And then give me the slanted bangs and like a high school choir t-shirt. And that was my look for 2008. Okay. And so when you talk about recessions and you talk about how, you know, we're in one right now, I was looking at this new trend that is titled, it's called indie sleaze. That is what this next generation is calling this vibe. And literally it is the alternative look that you would have seen in my high school era, 2008. I was probably like 16, like getting my driver's license at that time. And so it literally looks the same. It's so wild. And I wouldn't call it hipster. Somebody was calling it hipster, and I was like, maybe more alternative, like more like alternative rock, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I would equate it to hipster, but definitely my friends were pretty hipster at that point. I don't know. When I think about my high school experience, I don't know. I was just trying to figure things out, but I definitely had Toms. So that was a thing, but we definitely had like the short skirts and the like, the tights, and you really didn't care if the tights were ripped or not. But I'll show you some pictures of this indie grunge, and I pulled it up on Pinterest, and it's just like really fun to go back in memory lane and just think about like just the vibe in high school. I mean, this was definitely more of the rocker type vibe, the ones that went to all the concerts, and the sequins, and then you had like the jean shorts and the belt that were hip hugger. And then that's what my mom always called it. I don't know if it's called that, but it's like low rise. And then you've got the, what is that? The flannels that never really went away, but it really started around that time, like 2008. And then you've got the beanies. I love the fact that my generation starting to become moms and dads, and they like are still rocking the beanie and the hoodie and the black docs. Like, I just love that so much, and I hope we keep that vibe going. But yeah, indie sleaze, I guess, is the new hipster movement, alternative rock. And it looks the same. It looks exactly the same. They're just younger, you know, it's just how it is. But I'm going to look at some outfit ideas. And even when you search on Pinterest, I mean, Mary Kate and Ashley comes up, and I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, they're not that generation. But yeah, this is Generation Z. Oh my gosh, I do. I feel like I'm looking at high school vibes, and I love it. I don't think it's cringe. Like, I don't know why. I like the trends repeating, and it's giving me nostalgia. The only difference, I think, is that when we had flare jeans, they definitely hugged all the way below the knee. And when you look at this generation, the indie sleaze, it's definitely a more wide leg look, and it kind of flares out, but it's definitely not hugging the thigh as much as it did for us with the jeans and everything. So anyways, it's just a fun news alert, trend alert for 2023. It's the new hipster era. It's the indie sleaze. Maybe I will start my indie sleaze era, you know, going into the 30s. My birthday's coming up, and I am going to have a birthday party, and it is going to be themed death to my 20s, and it is going to be more of an alternative rock vibe, and I'm so pumped. My friend's helping me plan it. I am going to literally party like it's 2008. I really want to unpack all of these mental health buzzwords that we have that are for good reason going out there into the world and hitting the space of social media. But sometimes the definitions can get a little convoluted. And so that's why I think it's important to define them. And that's what I really want to do in this dating series. It is not going to be your typical dating series. We are going to talk about boundaries, attachments, codependency. And so today we're going to do a little, just kind of talk about attachment styles really briefly, and we're going to bounce back to it, so don't worry. But the reason why I wanted to talk about it right now is because I have an attachment quiz for you to take. Don't pay for the paid version. There's a free version, and I think it does the job really well. Like, I took it, and I'm a lot more of a avoidant personality type, like with attachment styles. So there's three types, and these are the ones that we're going to focus on. There's more, but these are the main ones, and this is what the book that I'm getting these worksheets from talk about, and it's called the book I put down in the description as well, and what it's called is the Attachment Style Workbook. And so I have a link for you in the show notes, so don't worry about that. If you want to do more work around attachment styles, and you're like, Hannah, this is something that I'm like curious about. Here's the thing. We all have at times in our lives, we have insecure moments where we do things out of anxiety or avoidance. And so that's kind of where we want to figure out where are you in this, right? So the attachment theory is that you have these three attachments styles that you could be go-to. It could be your natural go-to. It's avoidant, there's anxious, and then there's the secure. And full transparency, my husband is probably more the anxious one. And then when I'm unhealthy, I'm way more avoidant. I don't think I was always that way. Like, I think I was a lot more anxious when I was first dating. And I don't know if, like, through the dating process, I became more avoidant. But definitely those are the three types of attachment styles that you could have, and take this quiz and find out. And I like this quiz because what they give you things to work on. And so, like, I didn't have anything that that was like I need help on, because they had like another category of things to watch out for. So I had things to watch out for, but not things to like work on. And so I think that it's really good to have this in your toolkit and just something to keep in mind. Maybe give it to the person you're dating. Then you know, like, oh, that's why that person freaked out when I didn't call them at a certain time, because so-and-so has a anxious attachment style. And so it's just interesting. I just wanted to give you like a quick intro to it. And so in this attachment style workbook page, what we're going to look at is a few just prompts. So if you're listening to this and you're driving, maybe another time you can listen to it again and have it as part of your journaling time. And so I'm just going to read this to you. And then you can let me know what you think about it, or if this is helpful, or I don't know, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But I'm just going to say this out loud. Okay, here we go. Let's turn now to an exercise that will help you understand what your anxious attachment behavior is really about. You'll dig deep into an uncomfortable experience, but the goal is to help you understand how this attachment style works in your relationship. So there's just two prompts, okay? So the first one is, think of something that happened in a relationship that made you feel bad or uncomfortable. Okay, you have that thought in your mind. Something that made you feel bad or uncomfortable. Okay, what happened to trigger that feeling? What was the situation around it? Okay, now the second prompt is, incidents hurt people for reasons that are personal to each individual, which means that you and your partner will probably think differently about a situation or get upset for different reasons. If we zoom in on your experience of the event you just noted, what was the worst part about it for you individually? And then those two answers would be great things to explore with the person you're dating, with your spouse, and just to think about what made it so bad or embarrassing or uncomfortable for you personally, because the person you're with might not feel that same way. And then we're helping with the communication process. Dating is so much, relationships is so much just communication and trying to get on the same page. So that is a little introduction to the attachment style reflections that we're going to be doing. The other thing that I want you to know about is that quiz. Please take it. You get it if you click on the link below. It is a link to my newsletter on dating for your mental health and dating with your mental health in mind. And when you click on that, you're going to get so much more sent to your email inbox. It's going to be about boundaries. It's going to be about codependency. There's going to be more quizzes that you can take. And so it's going to be really interactive and I'm really excited about it. I did a lot of work on it. So I hope you enjoy and I hope it is helpful for your relationships in this month of January. I love that we're starting off with the topic of peace and starting off with the topic of healthy dating with your mental health in mind. I'm so pumped about that. So thanks so much for joining me here on the You Are Covered podcast. Thanks for clicking on another episode. As always, you can find me on all the platforms at Hannah Lynn Miller. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Pinterest even. I've been having a lot of fun on Pinterest lately. John and I have been decorating our new little home that we've got here. We live in the Parsonage, and so we've been trying to decorate it. It's like winning the lottery when you've been living in like a 750 square foot apartment and then all of a sudden you have like a two-story house with a basement. It's kind of wild. So that's what we've been doing on Pinterest. And you can find the You Are Covered podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Follow along for more resources there and reminders of episodes. Lastly, please, please leave me a comment. Let me know how you are enjoying this series so far in your Apple Podcasts. Reviewing this podcast goes so far, and I really, really appreciate it. And I thank you ahead of time. And let other people know about it, that this is a place where therapy, fashion, and theology all coexist. They go together. And I don't think that there's a podcast out there like it. So if you know someone who loves all three things, please send them our way. Jesus got you. You are covered. Be blessed. And I will see you in the next episode.